So something I get told and reminded of daily is the fact that a lot of my fans would love for me to come back to NBA 2K TV, or just to that they miss me there, and you know, things might not be the same. And I know the show is great and the hosts that they have now are great, and I can just understand maybe it's just different because I was there for so long, like nearly 5 years, and that was my baby, and it was, you know, a show that I really loved, and it was so hard to leave, honestly. But that for me definitely this year has kind of been a struggle, because it's tough for me because I loved that show. We had a great time there, and I'll be completely honest, there are times when I really, really miss it. I really do. I miss my coworkers, I miss my fans, I miss like just the amazing work that we used to do. But at the same time, I have other goals and dreams as well. And so I'm really hoping in the next couple years that my fans can, you know, just be excited for me and what's next. And hopefully, I mean, COVID was a tough year for me, and I wasn't able to do all the work that I wanted to do, but I'm hoping that this year in 2021, I can kind of turn the corner and show people what I'm really capable of. And hopefully my fans are along for the journey with that. And you know, if I make a guest appearance or two on NBA 2K TV, if they ever want to have me back again, I would love that too, because yeah, I have to be honest, there are days when I really miss it, and I love my fans and the support that they give me. And at the same time, I'm just hoping that they're along for the ride, because this isn't the end for me. Like, you know, there's a lot more to come. So
hi everyone, and welcome to the Team Lisa, the podcast on women in sports. I am literally so excited that you made it here today, and I am so very proud of our newest team member, whom I will introduce in just a second. But because I am assuming that there might be a couple of rookie listeners here today, I'll just take one quick second to introduce myself and the project. My name is Lisa Ramuschkat. I am a German sports presenter and reporter based in Munich, working for TV, producing digital content and hosting events. And as you can tell, I am a podcaster as well. This project started a little over a year ago in order to connect and inspire women in sports to reach higher, to believe in themselves, and to pursue their dreams. And this episode is actually the first English and international one ever. The episodes usually start with an, you know, assumption or prejudice my guests are frequently confronted with. They proceed with a quick self-introduction, followed by like half an hour of freestyle talk, and contain a little draft or draw of the categories that always take place in the show. They are called head coach, shootout, and throw in. I'm actually not sure if that's a proper English term, but you will understand for sure as soon as we get there. And in this very episode, my guest and I talked about her way of making it all the way to the top, about how she was not willing to fit into the industry as it kind of was expected of her, how she managed to grow a thick skin, and how it is totally possible to be an introvert and shy while working in the public eye at the same time. Plus, she will tell us where she sees herself in the future, so get ready. I could not be prouder to have you join this team, girl. Really, thank you so much again for the 20th time. And welcome on board, Rachel Demita. That That was already so much in there, Rachel. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And I should start right away with, you know, welcoming you on the show. You know, I've already said it like 7 times. I appreciate your time so much and you being on here. Welcome to Team Lisa and our, like everyone, please welcome our new team member, Rachel Demita.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun. And I know we're in different parts of the world right now, but I'm
yes.
glad that we could connect.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to say one time now, and I will not try to excuse my English in any other part of the show. So for everyone who's listening and who might not know me, which is the bigger probability, my name is Lisa. I am from Germany, and Rachel was so kind to respond randomly to my Instagram direct message. Oh, losing my phone here. And yeah, so there will be probably times where I don't know what to say or missing vocabulary or something, but I'll do my best.
It
and,
sounds great.
Rachel.
It sounds great to me. So
we'll try, you know. on this show, it's, you know, my guests have to interact a lot. And coming right back to you, it's your job, please, to like fill out a little fact sheet. On yourself. Who is Rachel Demita? You already, you know, said a lot there about NBA 2K, about being there 5 years and not being there right now, but maybe just like a little overall view. Who are you and what do you do now?
I would say, who am I? Firstly, I'm an athlete. I've been an athlete my whole life, and I think I will be until I'm dead and gone.
100%.
Yeah. And so, you know, sports and athletics have always been just a huge part of my life. And obviously I work as a host and producer, and I feel really blessed to have seen my career evolve in ways I could have never expected when I was a kid. You know, I've had a dream of being a TV show host since I was probably in high school, and to see kind of the way that media has transformed, and for me to, like we said, like to be in a video game, I would have never thought that was even possible, to have a YouTube channel, to do all of these digital jobs that have brought me just, have been such big productions that I could have never expected. Like when I was a kid, I always thought you had to be on a network TV show for it to be a respected production, but I've done so much in the digital space and I feel so grateful for that. And then at the same time, who knows what the future holds, because technology and everything is changing so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm a host at heart. I'm an athlete at heart. And then I would also say I'm an animal lover at heart. I'm vegan.
You are.
Yeah. I'm vegan. That's a huge part of just of my daily life and my lifestyle. I love cats. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a zoologist. And so I think for me...
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I've studied animals my whole life. And so volunteered at many shelters to help animals. So I think that that's also a purpose in my life is to help animals and to help the environment while I'm here too. And I know a lot of people don't know as much about that. But yeah, I would say in a nutshell, that's who I am.
Yeah, that's really, really nice sum up, really. And I would love to dig a little bit deeper into the athlete part and then the transition into the host part, because that's the chronological order,
yeah,
I would say, right?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
So who's Rachel the athlete? Where did you start? What were the most important like stations in your athletic career?
Yeah. So I actually started as a gymnast when I was young, and my parents put me in gymnastics, and I will forever be grateful of that. And I've always said, if I ever have kids, I'm not sure if I'm going to, but if I ever do, I would start them in gymnastics, even if they don't stay in very long, because it taught me overall coordination, overall flexibility and strength, and just
strength,
helped me to understand my body. And so I wasn't a very good gymnast. I stayed in it for about 3 years and I was competing and whatnot. But one day I was like, I want to try other sports. So I quit gymnastics and I tried everything. I tried tennis, golf, softball, track, cross country, and basketball.
No way.
Yeah. So I just went and tried everything. And oddly enough, I was naturally really, really good at softball, like really good. And I was a really good runner, and I was actually pretty good at tennis as well. And the sport...
Do you enjoy running too?
What was that?
Do you enjoy running too? Because that would be the only one I would only do in order to, you know, perform better at my sport, but I would not really enjoy doing
it. So that's what a lot of people say. I still to this day love running. I really do.
Really?
I think I missed, if I Bless wanted to then. Like go big time in a sport, I think I could have done it with track, but that's wow. for another day. But I mean, oddly enough, basketball, I was terrible at basketball naturally. I was awful. I was the worst player on my team.
Very hard to believe.
But for some reason, I liked it the best. And, you know, when you're 10 years old, you're not really thinking, you just want to play what you like. And I told my dad, I was like, I want to be the best at basketball. And he was like, okay, well, you're going to have to put in the work. You're going to have to put in a lot of work. And I said, okay, like, let's do it. And ever since that day, honestly, at 10 years old, I went from the worst player on my team to the very next year being the best player. And every single summer, I trained so hard in the off season. And then when mm-hmm. I was in seventh grade, I played for the eighth grade team. And I also would practice with the high school team. I wasn't allowed to play with them, obviously, but I'd go to my middle school practice, and I'd practice with the high school team after. In eighth grade, did the same thing. And then once I got to high school, I was working out 3 or 4 times a day. I'd work out before school. Mm-hmm. I'd lift during school. I'd go to practice after. And then a lot of times I would stay after practice and shoot. But that was the only way for me, because I'm 5'8". I'm not naturally, like, I can't jump. I'm not naturally super fast. I'm not the strongest. Like, I'm a, you know, kind of skinny comparatively. And so I had to just work my butt off. And that was the only way that I would be successful in the sport. And I ended up getting a full ride scholarship to Old Dominion University, which at the time we were ranked 12th in the country in women's Division I basketball. So it was really big time for me, and all the work that I did really led to that. And I didn't end up finishing my basketball career in college because it was never a goal of mine to play pro. And I think that's also a misconception people think I wanted to. I never wanted to play professionally, but so that's kind of my story. But I think, I mean, sports in general taught me hard work, and I've just carried that through, you know, my whole life.
And probably taught you a lot about a proper mindset. You already said that you, like, physically or genetically or whatever you want to say it, would have not been the perfect basketball player or the perfect athlete in that field. What would you say? Plus, you said during the summers, you always worked your butt off in order to get where you would want to go. So what would you say is... certain things or are the most important things talking mindset that you learned from this time?
I think, I mean, there's a couple things, and I really need to give credit to my dad because he's the one who told me when I came to him and I was like, I want to be the best. He's like, well, you can be the best. You can do whatever you want to do. You just have to work hard. And I appreciate him just telling me that because there was never any excuses. There was just, you do the work, you'll get, you know, where you want to go. And so I think, firstly, there's that, and that was instilled in me when I was a kid. And I think, naturally, maybe I was born with it. I've always been a very driven person. I don't know if I learned that somewhere or if I was just born with it. So that helped, obviously. And I was even very driven in school. I wanted to get straight A's and all of that. But the biggest thing for me was my mental toughness. And I've told this story a few times, but... I was on the varsity team when I was a freshman, and I either started or was first off the bench, and we were a really good team. And I mean, not to like whatever, I was really good as a freshman, and I played a lot, but my coaches were so tough. They were mean. They were tough. The girls were mean to me. Like, it was just, it was hard. And I remember having a meeting with them once and kind of crying and being like, you guys yell at me all the time, and like the girls are bullying me, and like I'm just like, I don't know what to do, and I'm trying to have this meeting with them, and they're like, well, Rachel, you have two choices. Like, you can get thick skin or we can put you on JV. Just let us know what you want to do. I was like, okay, I'll get thick skin, you know, and like from that day, I will never forget that. And I mean, that was 16 years ago now.
Yeah.
But I've always just, I will always get thick skin no matter what it is, or you take the easier route. You know, do you want it bad enough to get thick skin, or do you want to just take the easy way out? And sometimes it's okay. You don't want to get tough for what you want, but that will just always stick with me. And I'm really grateful for that, for sure.
And then at the same time, it sounds so easy, but that's like so much easier said than done, right? Like, okay, I'm just going to toughen up from today on. Like,
oh yeah.
And plus, I probably would have been like pissed because, you know, it would feel like being put under pressure, obviously, to, you know, decide or, you know, pick one of the two things.
But
yeah. So how would you say, did you get the thick skin then? Because, you know, you just don't brush off the bullying from today.
Oh, definitely. Until tomorrow. No way. But I think it was just for me, it was just them very matter-of-factly saying, and to this day, those are my favorite coaches I've ever had through college or whatever, because they made me better. They were tough on me because they knew I had potential. Like, they held me to a certain standard because they knew I could handle it, and I needed that. But yeah, I think it was just for me, like I was playing so many minutes on varsity, starting half the games, and for them to threaten me going down and playing below obviously the level I could, that was enough to scare me into just like, okay, you got to deal with it. And I think I just kind of learned along the way how to deal with certain things, how to not take things personally. And I'll be very honest with you. I am a lot better at keeping thick skin in like work and sport than I am in my personal life. Like, I'm such a softie when it comes to like friends and family, and I'm very sensitive and easily offended. But in work, it's kind of like this switch that I turn on, and it's just almost like overcoming, you know, those obstacles. It's kind of just like obstacles for me, and you kind of have to look at it like that. So yeah, it definitely wasn't easy, but I think I just rolled with the punches as they came, and just having that in the back of my mind, like, just get thick skin, just toughen up, you know, and then
I can do this. Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of got me through. So
that's so interesting. And I bet we're going to dig into that later or build on that in a bit, but, just keeping the chronicles a little. You talked about how you stopped playing basketball in college. I was going to say high school. No. You got that full scholarship for Old Dominion, and you started playing. And personally, that was always my dream. I even applied to American colleges for my bachelor's and then again for my master's, and it wouldn't work out. I'd play field hockey.
Oh, cool.
And so it was always my biggest dream to actually play as professionally as possible. And it's so interesting for you, or for me looking at you, following the whole way and then realizing at the top, basically, that it's not what you wanted.
Yeah. It was until I left NBA 2K TV, that was the toughest decision I've ever made in my life, because I had worked.
I can imagine.
And I mean, again, I'm so grateful to have parents and family who just wanted me happy, because I know that there's a lot of other parents that's like, oh, you're getting your school paid for, like, you need to keep playing, you know, and I feel grateful that my family just wanted me happy, and they knew I wasn't. I was very, very unhappy. And I think I was unhappy. The biggest reason I was unhappy is because I didn't understand why basketball wasn't making me happy anymore. And so that, that disconnect was so hard for me to wrap my brain around. I'm like, why am I struggling to get out of bed to like go to practice? Why am I so excited when it's over? Why I didn't love it. And at the same time, this is probably true for a lot of Division I athletes. It was hard for me to get the education that I wanted playing at that high of a level, at least that school.
Interesting.
I couldn't take the classes that I wanted to because they didn't fit in with our practice schedule.
Wouldn't match. Yeah.
I even got an internship with ESPN Radio my freshman year, but I wasn't able to take it because of practice and stuff. And so that was hard for me. And so when I did walk away, I ended up transferring to American University, and I got a fantastic education there in broadcast journalism and theater. Loved it. Got the best education. But I actually took 4 years away from basketball completely. I did not watch a game for 4 years. I didn't dribble a basketball. I didn't shoot a basketball. I just like cold turkey, because it was a heartbreak in a way.
I can totally understand.
Yeah.
Because, well, for me, when I stopped playing field hockey, which was not my decision, basically, but my coaches, and, you know, we don't have the college system with all the athletic support that you guys in the U.S. have, it was basically, it was over. And I identified as athlete, and I, you know, wrapped my whole life around practice and games. And then from one day to another, it was all gone. And I was like, okay, I need to redefine myself. I need to redefine how also like people are supposed to like perceive me, which is bullshit, obviously. But those are thoughts that came to my mind.
100%. No, I totally understand that. And when you're young too, it's hard. I guess for me, it was hard to identify like all of the emotions that were coming, you know, it was hard to just understand what was going on and why I was feeling depressed and why I was feeling so anxious. And, you know, I really, after I quit basketball, just dove into school and went really hard. And I actually graduated early. But I channeled my energy into different things because I still needed. And then I started running after I quit basketball as well. And I started racing, and I qualified for Boston Marathon and did, I was like, I just needed to compete still. And I was actually
Totally.
I was running with the American girls track team, and they like, I was running with their like top five girls, and I'd never joined the team because I was like, I can't jump back into a D1 sport. I just got out of one. But that for me at the time, it was me masking my feelings, but I also just needed a clean break from basketball so I could heal. And it ended up being 4 years until I was able to like,
that's crazy,
love the sport again, but differently. So 4 years later, I came to a new appreciation, and it wasn't Rachel, the basketball player. It was Rachel, the former basketball player, who can appreciate the sport and love it and talk about it and go play for fun if she wants to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that caught me that you said, you weren't able to identify why basketball wouldn't excite you anymore the way it did, why, you know, you would struggle to get out of bed or be excited when as soon as practice was over. Did you ever find a real satisfying answer to that for yourself?
I think, I mean, maybe it was just because there was no next level for me, because I did not want to play in the WNBA. So maybe it was like, okay, I reached my peak and I don't really care if I get better. I think like the kind of spark to get better, it wasn't there anymore because I got what I wanted. And honestly, and it's unfortunate for Old Dominion because they, you know, invested in me. But at the same time, I have to do what makes me happy, and because I wasn't going
to
be, I wasn't going to be a good player for them anyway if I was miserable.
obviously.
Yeah, and I think at the same time, just the mix with me not being able to study what I wanted to and knowing the kind of career goals that I had and that I wasn't even able to get started on them, that was tough. I got bullied in college too, which didn't help. So there was...
Obviously.
there was a lot of
and
things.
Then, going on, I feel you. And then that's so interesting to hear. So it was basically your reality colliding with your vision, because you always had the vision, as you just said, to become the host. So after finally deciding to go for that path, how would you say did you evolve, or what did that do to you?
So when I first was pursuing hosting, I was doing it strictly in the entertainment space, because like I said, I kind of diverted from sports did not want to cover sports, didn't want to talk about it. I did a little bit of sports hosting at American University, but I did it for volleyball and field hockey, actually, and soccer. Mm-hmm. I walked into a basketball gym one day to broadcast for the basketball game, and I broke down in tears. I couldn't do it. So they just kind of kept me on fall sports because basketball was still too close for comfort. But yeah, I mean, for me, it gave me purpose again to kind of go after my goal. And like I said, my career path was so different than I could have ever expected. And I even remember my professors in college telling me, like, I needed to cut my hair. I looked too young to be on TV. I needed to wear my makeup differently. And I never listened because I'm like, I'm going to do it the way I want. And we'll see what happens. And so,
yeah,
when we graduated that year, I was the only girl in my broadcast journalism class who, like, didn't have short hair and didn't make themselves kind of look older.
Really?
Yeah.
And is that how it goes? Like, you know, things over here are so differently, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, there would never be a class like that, or there just isn't, you know, a class you could take in order to become a person on television or anything. So these wouldn't be things that you're being taught.
Yeah. I mean,
funky to hear.
The classes, I learned so much in the classes about hosting, about production. Mm-hmm, I learned to edit. I learned to shoot. We did everything.
Not doubting that at all.
Yeah. But I think they were kind of preparing us for just the traditional broadcast space. So basically what our professors told us is that we need to go to a local news market, no matter where it is in the country, and we need to work our way up. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound, I don't think I want to do that. And so I didn't. And I fell into modeling accidentally. I never loved modeling, but it helped me to make
sounds crazy.
Make some money for a little while when I was young. And then through there fell into YouTube through a casting. And then I feel like my career really came up via the internet. You know, I came up from YouTube, and then from there started working with different brands here and there, and then started growing a following on my Instagram and my Twitter. And for me, that was just me creating for myself. And it was at the time, I mean, I graduated college in 2012, and at the time that was a new path that a lot of people, it's very normal now for people to do it in this way. But yeah, that's kind of how I started. And I'm so grateful that I didn't do the traditional route because, yeah, I just, you know, I always, at the end of the day, I just want to love what I'm doing. And
obviously, and it's about authenticity too, right?
Yeah. So,
and I would actually love to dig a little deeper into that, because that's something that I've been confronted with in the German television market for sure. Like, my first shows would be like, you come into this environment where you're not sure, like, how to act, how processes are being done, or how everything works. And then people would go like, okay, so it would be nice if you would wear your hair like this, or if you would dress like that. Mm-hmm. And please be yourself, though, but please use that type of language. And you would, or I would be like, tell me if it was the same for you or not. But like, you would actually wonder what is really authentically you.
Yeah.
And what is rather a picture, as you said, like the girls were cutting their hair. I think that's terrible. I think that's really not what we should be taught.
Right. And it's funny but I got slapped in the face when I got to YouTube, because I was talking like a broadcaster on YouTube, and everybody in the comments was like, why does she sound like that? She sounds so whatever. And it was such a reality check for me. And I was like, oh, like. And so I was able to blend kind of like speaking professionally, but also being myself and being real, because I'm not going to talk on YouTube the same way I talk with my girlfriends when I'm like,
obviously
not, you know, pronunciating my words correctly or using slang or whatever, but I still help, like, want them to feel like it's me. And so I had to learn from that, because people were roasting me online saying like, why does she talk like that? Why does she do that? I was like, okay, wait a second, this isn't working. So
yeah, but then I feel that's super tough because you have to be confident enough to try something, or in the college, in your college situation, be as close to yourself enough to be like, in the way you did it, is like, I don't want to be like this.
Right.
I don't think this is right. So how would you say, did you build your confidence, or on what areas or parts is your confidence based, in order to, you know, just say to everyone, basically to the system,
yeah,
this is not how I'm going to do it?
I mean, it definitely takes time. And I feel like I'm in a position now where I've done enough work that people know my work, understand how I host. And so if I'm not getting a job, it's like, I'm not right for every mm-hmm. hosting job because of my style, because of how I talk. One of the biggest things for me now, I feel best when I have a part of the creative process of a production. So whether mm-hmm. It's a TV show, and I mean, even on 2KTV, every interview that I did, I wrote those questions, you know.
Yes.
Me and my co-producer would work together on the script. So nobody was writing a script for me that wasn't in my own language. And even every job that I do to this day, even if somebody mm-hmm. else writes the script, I go back through and put it into my own words and make it me. And there are so many people who call me awkward or call my interviews awkward, but I would so much rather that, because I am an awkward human being. I'd so much rather that than somebody think that I'm phony, you know, or me fake mm-hmm, laughing. Yeah. You see that so often. People are like, oh, it's like, that wasn't funny. Like, you know? And so I've just come to learn that, like, authenticity, I think, goes the furthest. And especially where we are today with technology, people just see straight through it if you're not yourself. Yeah. And it's hard to keep up that act, too. I don't want to act like somebody else. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot mm-hmm. of energy.
It does. It definitely does. Hey, and Rachel, we have these three little cups here, which is our little draft situation. And man, I feel like it's just about a great time to pick the first category out of the cubs.
Okay.
And it's the head coach. I didn't prepare you for this one. Surprise.
Head coach. Okay.
The head coach is the category in which I always ask my guests in order to elaborate a little on one person or a number of people even. Or, very interestingly, my last guest asked me if it has to be a person or if it can be something else.
Okay.
Which I obviously allowed. So, blah, blah, blah. What are people or things in your life that keep you grounded or that help you in a moment of, you know, despair, or help you stay on your path even though the environment wouldn't be very helpful at the moment?
Okay, so this is actually an easy one for me, but I would definitely say my parents, for sure. I feel I'm an only child, so my parents have always been my best friends, and I just feel I'm just eternally grateful because I feel like I had the best parents in the world, and I know that that's not the case for many.
Yeah,
and yes. I wouldn't be like the strong woman that I am and the independent woman that I am, and just if I didn't have their support and love along the way. And it's not, we didn't grow up rich, we didn't have all the things, but I've always had endless love from them. And just endless support.
That's beautiful.
And just, yes. and also a kick in the butt when I needed it, you know? The other day.
So important.
The other day I was about to miss a deadline for something with work, and my mom's, and she's like, you need to get your work done. Like, you need to text me when you finish, because they know.
So cute though.
Yeah. Like, they know how important things are to me. And, so yeah, I mean, definitely, they're my best friends and my biggest support system, and yeah, so definitely my parents.
That's a beautiful answer for sure. Do you guys have maybe like a ritual, or do you remember one certain specific moment or situation in which they really made you turn the switch?
I think, I mean, for us, we talk on the phone every single day. I go on speak.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Every single day for like a decent amount of time. And my parents always put me on speakerphone and we talk about everything. They know everything about my life. And my parents are young too. My mom had me when she was 19. So we've always just like, I have a young mom, we're just super close. But yeah, it's one of those things. My dad has always been tough on me when it comes to sports, and my mom is just the one who will just listen and be a good girlfriend. But that balance definitely works for us. But at the same time, my dad also has the biggest heart. So, but he can be tough when he needs to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
it does totally.
100%. They're just, I mean, there's so many instances and memories where I was like, they just come through. And even if we're living across the country from each other, they always pick up the phone when I need them. And my mom sleeps with her ringer on at night just in case something happens in the middle of the night and I need her. So,
sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Would they be supportive too? For example, going back to the college situation where you were like, I'm not happy. I need to make a decision here. If I'm staying and forcing myself to do something I'm not happy with. I can imagine my parents to be like, you know, as you said, like, you are staying, girl.
Yeah.
This is paying for your education.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I was most grateful for, because they just, could see I wasn't happy. And they're just like, you know, what do we need to do? And so I started applying to other colleges almost immediately. And when I quit also, I was getting letters from other basketball teams at other colleges saying, like, we have a spot for you if you want to come.
Interesting.
And I was like, I just don't want to play basketball anymore.
No.
Yeah. I was like, it's not the school. I was like, I actually just don't want to play anymore. But yeah, I'm so grateful that they were supportive there, because it would have been tough to stay for 4 years. For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's always really tough when you do have, or lucky enough to have a good relationship with your parents, to like disappoint them if that's what they would have wanted, right?
Oh,
to decide
sure.
against what they really would like you to do.
The only way I would disappoint my parents is if I did drugs. And yeah, that's just like our biggest rule, no drugs.
or if you wouldn't hand in that piece of work or whatever.
Exactly.
After deadline.
Yes. Exactly.
I see.
But
that's interesting though.
Yeah.
So one of the other things I'd like to talk about, and which really fits in right here, is what does success to you mean, Rachel? Because, you know, you decided to leave the promising route of becoming the pro athlete you could have been, obviously every college would have taken you, to pursue your other dream, your job path. And then I sometimes feel that there's so much pressure coming from the public, from the community, from the society that we live in. You know, you're successful when you buy your own house, for example, which is such a boss move of yours.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right. So obviously, like, material things are considered, or external things are considered successful. And then I meet people over and over again, and they're like, I don't care for these things, though. What makes me feel successful are different things. And yet, it's what I feel like so much more difficult to pursue something that's that is not attached to all these material things and still be considered successful. Kind of lost myself there, but I feel like, you know what I'm going for.
No, I know I definitely know what you're saying. And I think success is wildly different for everybody. And I think my definition of success is ever changing. And I definitely want to make sure I stay fluid with it, because as an adult, I've just come to realize, like, obviously end game for me, I would love to host my own daily show. That's been end game. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that will even live, though. I don't know if it's TV. I don't know if it's a streaming service. I don't know. And so I keep that part open. I know I want to be hosting and producing.
Yeah.
I want to executive produce a show. That's another goal of mine. And so, but I'm fluid with how that comes about, when that comes about. And I'm also just, I show compassion to myself about if my goals and dreams change, that's okay. You know, because it's happened before. And so, yeah, success for me, I mean, but there's also personally success for me is when I make new friends because I'm so introverted and I'm very shy.
So interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't know. It's actually like working for me is the most extroverted I am. But in my personal life, I'm very shy. I don't have a lot of friends at all. And so even for me, meeting a new friend is like a win, you know, and so
interesting. Yes.
And I know that that makes my life so much more fulfilling. And so I used to be so one track minded in like, okay, work is success. I need to do this. Just put my head down. Nothing else matters, but it does matter. Yeah. Friends matter. Relationship matters. Time with my pet matters. Time at the animal shelter matters. And so it's kind of, I guess my success, whatever you want to call it, scale has definitely shifted a bit as I've gotten older. And I think that that's okay. I don't, if I answered your question correctly, I hope I did.
Oh, yeah, you did. Totally. Oh, there's no correct or wrong answer to this, obviously. But you said so many things I'd like to pick up on. So the first thing is you said you'd like to have or host your own daily show, either on cable or digitally. And that was one thing I heard on another podcast interview, which caught my attention to such an extent because you said that people even ask you sometimes or a lot of the time, no, that's no English. Whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When are you going to be back on TV or work for a certain network? Implying basically that what you're doing right now is not as successful as being the host of, you know, whatever, ESPN or something.
Right.
And I actually have been considering or defining success for myself being a host in, you know, the German sports industry, just like that. I always thought, like, if I want to be a successful or respected host in this business here in the industry, I do have to have a connection to one of the networks. Maybe you can elaborate a little on your thoughts on this topic too.
Yeah, I think for me, that's just such that's me listening to the noise of other people. And it's hard not to do that. And it puts me not in a good mental space when I'm listening too much to what other people are saying about me or what other people think I should be doing. And I'm not saying it's like it would. I've done shows for ESPN. I've done a live broadcast with NBA TV. I've done those things. And if something comes around that is perfect for me and it's with one of those networks, amazing. Like, that would be great. But I've found so much success in other things. And so I guess it was me proving to myself. Like, obviously, NBA 2K TV in a video game. I've done streaming services with, streamed a live show with T-Mobile that was on a completely different platform, but was a huge success. You know, I've partnered with some of the biggest brands in the world. I freaking got to go to China just to shoot a video for my YouTube channel. Yes. I got to hang out with Kobe Bryant, go to FIBA World Cup. I got to go to the NBA Finals just because I partnered with YouTube TV. Like, those are huge accomplishments. And
those are huge accomplishments.
And, you know, and I have to take a step back and be like, we didn't do that through a huge, you know, company, I guess.
Yes.
To broadcast it, if that makes sense. And so I guess it's just me proving to myself over and over and then having to make sure that my mental health stays like looking forward, not listening to the noise, because the noise can be a lot, especially when you have like as many followers as I do. Like, it can get loud sometimes. So
very loud, I assume. I wouldn't know, but you know, I assume.
Yeah.
And that's maybe another buzzword right there that connects to something else that you said earlier. You just described yourself as a very introverted, shy person, which, you know, seems maybe crazy or as something unexpected for someone external looking at you, because, you know, you are this obviously beautiful girl, very successful, talking about external success, with over a million followers on your Instagram alone, not talking about the other accounts or platforms. And then it feels, or it can feel, like a non-match.
Yeah.
If you say you're shy, right? Like, how can a person who is working in such a public environment be shy at the same time?
I think there's this whole different mode that I go in when I'm working, and I guess it's even like subconscious, and mm-hmm. that like allows me, I guess, to open up.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny too, because I even feel bad sometimes, because I hope fans like don't think I'm rude sometimes when I meet them, because when I meet fans, a lot of times I'm just as nervous as they are. And so I'll try to, and sometimes if I'm taken off guard, I'm
crazy.
Yeah, right? I'm just like, oh, hi, like, and I'm so awkward and shy. And it's just like, but if I'm at an event and like, I know I'm going to see fans, I can expect it and I can kind of like work myself up. But like when I'm just in a grocery store and someone's like, are you Rachel Demita? And I'm like, hi. Like, and I'm so, you know, I'm not meant to be famous at all. Like, it does not make sense, but yeah. And I think though, for me, introverted is something people maybe misunderstand, because if I'm close to you, I love to talk. I will talk for hours. We're doing it right now. And I will give you the world, and I will, but it's just the initial reaching out to mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. or even I'm also just like very sensitive. So like, I don't do well in big parties or like big groups. It gives me a lot of anxiety. It's mm-hmm. just too much stimulation. Mm-hmm. I like a quiet house. I have one cat. I like, you know, a small group of people. And so, yeah, but I guess when I get into work mode, it's like this little switch that flips, but it's still me. Yeah. I don't want people to think I'm faking it.
Oh no.
Because it's mm-mm. still me. It's just almost like I'm allowing myself to be a little bit louder in my personality than I do in normal life, I guess.
Well, that's so interesting. Like, I wasn't trying to sound rude or harsh describing this. Yeah, because I always feel like, especially in my environment here, there's so many girls who don't feel like they can achieve certain things in, I don't know, personal life or even their work life, because they don't meet certain characteristics or whatever. So I want them to know that you can be both shy and introverted and, you know, famous and successful and still like a person with thick skin in the business or in the industry, and it works all together, that you can basically mix it all up. Or, you know, you can be successful without the short hair, because
yes.
that's not you, right?
Yeah. And I think too, for girls who or anybody really who is a little bit more introverted or sensitive, for me, mm-hmm. what has really helped is I don't share too much of my personal life. And that has really helped with my mental health. So my family, I barely ever share my family on social media. I don't do daily vlogging. And all of these things I know would help me grow. Like, my YouTube channel would grow if I opened up a lot more, if I showed the other people in my life. But mm-hmm, that stuff, mm-hmm. and none of my friends, like, I was just laughing the other day. Like, my friends post on Instagram, like, once every 6 months. Like, they're so not in that space and don't care about it, but it's just kind of what I need. And so just keeping mm-hmm. that small circle that I do have kind of sacred actually really helps me to be able to go into work mode. If they were all blended together, it doesn't work for my mental health at all.
And that topic, mental health, it's such an important one as well, especially working in the social media world, because people become more ruthless as soon as they can be anonymous.
Yeah.
Because that gives them kind of a feeling of safety or something. I don't know. Yeah. And then also what I just tried to explain a little about the craziness of you being such a public person and shy at the same time, people kind of lose touch, I feel, for the real person behind the Instagram profile.
Definitely.
How are your experiences with that? And you already said that you, you know, not showing too much of your private life in order to stay sane, basically, because that can actually be like a weak spot. So yeah. What are your tips here?
I had to learn pretty early to, like, I would read comments all the time. I had to learn pretty early that I can't pay attention to that kind of stuff because it will destroy you. And I actually think modeling helped me as well, because modeling is such a cutthroat industry. And if you get sad every time you don't book something, or every time somebody says you're too fat or you're too skinny, or your hair
is
too...
That's such a personal feedback.
Right. And so I learned that pretty early as well. Like, if you take that stuff personally, you'll get eaten alive. And so... the only thing that really gets to me, I feel like, online anymore is when people lie about me or make personal attacks that are lies. Like, that's because I've had people say, like, I just met Rachel today. She was the biggest bitch. She wouldn't even talk to me. And, like, I didn't leave my house that day. So I was like, okay, well, that's a lie. And
oh, then, my God.
You know, or things that are dangerous. Like, I've had people Photoshop my head onto, like, naked body that wasn't mine.
Wow.
And put that out online. Like, there's a couple instances where I've had to get a private investigator because the harassment has been next level. And so those are the kind of things that are just really hard to deal with. But the little stuff, man, I toughened up a while ago. And I'll even do videos where I read mean comments and just laugh, because I don't know, like, sometimes that's just the way to push through it, you know?
Yeah.
Just to, like, laugh at the wild things. And the fact that I think I'm a pretty kind and, like, not dramatic or not controversial person. Mm-hmm, so the fact that I can rile people up pretty much hanging out with my cat at home is, like, kind of funny, honestly. Like, what did I do to make you mad?
Yeah. Good one. And yet I feel like, obviously, on a whole nother level than you, but still, if people were like, yeah, like, I would comment on a post on social and people would, like, start a thread underneath saying shit like, yeah, you know, a girl who thinks knows something about sports. It's so, how do you say that? Like, tentative? No, is that a word? From temptation? Like, the temptation is so big, though, to...
you have a temptation to respond.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I would just love to go, like, bro, you don't even have a real account. Like, who are you?
Right.
And, like, you don't know me. You don't know anything. And yet, you know, it still bothers a little. Like, the ego is alive. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So if you're saying you manage to just laugh, that's, like, huge, actually. Props.
I think another thing you want to remember too is, like, for every there I get so many comments, and if I'm only responding to the mean people, I'm ignoring everybody who's being kind. And so I'm giving attention to the people who don't deserve it. So that's kind of my biggest thing. Like, I never want my followers who support me and who are freaking amazing and who I wouldn't be here without them to think that I'm just ignoring them for somebody being a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's a good one. Have a little, draft moment again. and pulled the next category, which is the shootout. That's a little quick round of questions.
Okay. Sounds you good. Ready? Yeah.
So, we already... Oh, I can say that. Thinking out loud here as you can hear. So we already talked about that one, but introvert or extrovert?
Introvert.
Introvert. So does that mean you prefer staying in, or do you prefer going out if we didn't have a COVID situation, obviously?
I know, right? COVID has made me want to go out, which I never want to go out. So I would say typically
feel you.
Stay in, go out if it's like an escape room or a nice dinner. but not to a club or anything.
An escape room? That's a funky answer.
I love escape rooms. I'm so weird.
Really? I have to admit, I'm a little, like, scared. Obviously, nothing's going to happen, but just the imagination of not being able to get out when I want to get out.
Please, I guess please do it. Please do it. You'll be so obsessed. I've probably done, like, 50 now. It's a little bit ridiculous. Yeah.
Interesting. A fun fact on you here. Next one is cable or digital?
Digital, for sure. I haven't even plugged in my cable box, so.
Okay, fair. Are you going to stay your own boss forever, or will you be employed again in the future at some point?
Both, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Because I want to be a part of helping other people's businesses as well, so.
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Both. I like that. Instagram or TikTok?
Man, Instagram is like the old faithful, but TikTok is fun. TikTok is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta go. Instagram is like is like my OG, so I gotta go with Instagram. I see. Yeah.
Hey, and then what about Clubhouse? Is Clubhouse just as big over there as it is over here? Like,
I've never tried
for the past 5 days, everyone is freaking out over it.
Oh, really?
Seriously.
Maybe I need to get on it, though, because I've never tried it. And I'm always, like, 2 steps behind the new social media. Like, I'm always late to the party, so.
If you gotta now, you'd only be behind 1 step, though, so.
Okay, good to know. I'm gonna get on
that. It's interesting, though. It's interesting, yeah. Check it out for sure. Okay, little mind game here. Tomorrow's the day. COVID is over and we're all back to normal life. What would you do? Except for going out, which we just found out.
I want to go film something. I want to get with my crew and I want to go shoot. And I mean, I feel like even though we haven't been able to go anywhere, I feel like I've been on vacation for all of 2020 and I just want to get back to work. Like, I'm craving it so much. So
feel you.
So yeah, I want to get back filming.
Let's do that. Cooking or ordering out?
Ordering out, 100%.
Yeah? You're not a big cook?
I mean...
Or do you not...
I cook a lot for myself, but it's the most basic meals. Like, it's... And I...
Okay, yeah.
No, and I don't enjoy cooking. I wish I did, but no, I don't enjoy cooking at all.
I totally feel you on that one. And as in today, watching or playing basketball?
Watching, definitely. I like shooting, but I don't, I mean, the only times I play 5-on-5 is when I play in a celebrity game. Like, I never play pickup or anything. I'll just shoot around for fun. But yeah, so watching
for
sure.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
And then that was the quick questions already. Congrats, you made it through.
Yes, thank you.
Looking a little bit further ahead, though, where would you say do you see yourself in maybe like a couple of years? Let's not make it like in an application process here. You don't have to answer it in a super, super serious manner.
I mean, I definitely see myself. I have a few business projects that we are working on right now that are completely not hosting there.
Really?
I have a couple in the clothing space and then one kind of in the supplement space that I'm excited about. So that's really fun.
Sounds so good.
And like you guys will hear more about that this year. So I'm excited about that. I mean,
excited.
In the next couple of years, I want to start my podcast as well. A year and a half ago, we're like this close to getting it started and the deal kind of fell through and I just want to do it the right way. But that's been something that's been a goal
Very
of mine
cool.
for a while. And, and yeah, I mean, I see myself selling a couple shows that I've come on as co-producer of. I see that happening in the next couple of years. And I see myself being back hosting and producing a show regularly, you know, and I see that happening and I can't tell you what it's going to look like necessarily, because I'm open to the possibilities of what it could be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will be back hosting a TV show very soon. It's bound to happen. And we have a lot of momentum. Ooh. So we got this. We got
this. Okay. Can't wait.
2020 can't hold on to me any longer. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Definitely can't. But that's so interesting, though, because, you know, people always, including myself here, think they could imagine what people would think. And I would have thought that you would go for something like, I'm going to be this big host of whatever show. And you're much more going for, you know, business ideas as well. So do you follow like an overall vision of yourself that you want to see yourself becoming? Or do you follow certain people as an idol and be like, okay, I kind of want, I don't know, be the host like Oprah, and then be the, I don't know, business person like somebody else? Or how do you
With your ideas? I get inspiration from a lot of different people in a lot of different fields. I guess one person who I do look up to, and mine and her brands are so different, but I've always been inspired by how she has conducted her business, is Shay Mitchell. She's an actress. Very successful actress, but she has her own like suitcase and luggage company that she built. She has like a tequila company that she built and is working with. Cool. And so like, and also her social media presence is so strong. And I just, like, she has a YouTube channel, Instagram, TikTok, and she keeps up with all of it. And I'm just so impressed on how she has taken, her acting is number one for her, right? But she has been able to build off of that. And that's kind of where I see myself as well, because realistically, really cool. I don't think I see myself on camera my whole life. And for me, I keep learning so much in the production space, and and I want to keep learning and growing. And I have friends that are producers and people that I work with. And so I'm always just like eating up that knowledge, because after my time is up on camera, I still want to be able to like produce and create with others. And it's still very fulfilling to me. What was that?
Sounds so mature. Oh. For sure.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fulfilling to me to create, and I don't have to be on camera all the time. So I definitely see myself overall as a businesswoman, but number one, I'm an athlete at heart. I'm a host at heart, but I'm able to build my business around these things and the things that I love. And
love that so much.
Yeah, and I think there's something there. I think I can achieve that, you know? So, yeah.
For sure. Like, as your parents taught you, there's nothing you can't achieve, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Shout outs to mom and dad here. Exactly. Again. All right, Rachel, last one. I am failing to find the last category. It's a German word on my little paper here. It's probably, I would call it a throw-in.
Like, wait, how do you say it, though? Einwurf? What is it?
Einwurf.
Einwurf?
Einwurf.
Oh, gosh. I have the worst American accent. I'm Einwurf. Oh,
well, Einwurf. Exactly. Perfect.
Okay.
So that would be shortly. We already crossed the hour mark here, the 1 hour mark. We're close to the end. I'll set you free in a sec. What would be a topic, though, you would like to throw into our conversation here that, you know, deserves a stage, that deserves to be addressed?
Let's talk about animals.
Sure, we haven't talked about your cat enough yet. Let's talk about animals.
You're like, okay, I'm going to kick her off right now. No, I'm just kidding.
And no, I'm living with a friend right now, and we were talking about, as I moved in, about getting a hamster. We haven't followed through on that idea.
Oh my gosh. Okay, just be careful.
But it's a real thought.
I had two hamsters when I was a kid, and they fought almost to the death. So
just, oh my god,
we had to like separate them and put them in two different cages. And so if you just be careful of how many you get and make sure that they get along, because
oh my god,
it was a bloody mess. They were
like the nicest little homies.
Oh yeah, I did too. But
interesting.
Anyway, I guess so. I guess we can bring up animals, because another person who was my idol as a kid was Steve Irwin, mm-hmm. the crocodile hunter.
Yeah.
And I
saw so many of Instagram posts on him and his family recently.
Oh, it's yeah. so funny. I follow his family on social media, and they mm-hmm. are just the sweetest things. And they do so much for just the planet and for animals, and mm-hmm. just bring such like a lively spirit to everything that they do. And I appreciate that so much. Jane Goodall is another person who I love to follow. And I just think it's important. Like, we can just learn so much from animals, just compassion and love. And having my cat Daisy, like, she is my number one companion. And call me a crazy cat lady if you want, but I don't know. I've just had such a love for animals my whole life. I haven't eaten meat in over 12 years, and I've been vegan
for such a long time.
Yeah. And I've been vegan for about 5 years. And it's just something that's just a huge part of my life. So if we brought up another topic, I guess we could talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. And tell me a little bit about how you are supporting the animal shelters. Like, in what frequency are you helping out there?
So I just recently moved to Texas, so I need to find a shelter that's close to me so I can volunteer. But yeah, I've been volunteering at shelters now for the past, it might be 6 years now, which is crazy. I definitely did the most in Los Angeles. But I remember the first time I ever went to an animal shelter, I cried for 3 hours after. It was such an eye-opening.
Oh my god.
It was such an eye-opening like experience for me. Mm-hmm. And it was so sad, because I said, how can this many animals be living in cages? And then after that, I was like, well, if I'm not going to help, then who's going to help? And so mm-hmm. for me, that's, you know, just sharing my message of adopting and not shopping, because because there's so many animals who are euthanized in shelters because they just don't have the capacity to take care of as many. And cats are even at greater risk than dogs. And just teaching people about cat behavior. I feel like I'm obviously mm-hmm. much more in tune with cat and kind of like very like a cat whisperer, if you would say. But, you know, just kind of being able to educate, but also in a non-shaming way. Because even mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when I say I'm vegan, some people are like turned off by that. But nobody in my family is vegan. Like, maybe one of my friends is vegan. And I would never shame you for that. But I do like to share kind of the ways it's benefited me and why I think it's important. Yeah. And so that's just always been something that I like to show. To share things that I'm passionate about through showing with compassion and without judgment, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah,
which is basically the main thought of this podcast as well. You know, there's still so much going wrong in the industry too. And women are not being promoted into the positions as, you know, on the same level as men, but still, I don't feel like it helps a lot to call people out or blame people, but just, you know, just like you and I are doing it right now, just showing positive examples and idols and maybe ways to follow.
100%. Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's the best way in life to go about things, because you never know what battles mm-hmm. other people are going through. You never know their life story, how they came up, and you probably never will. So just approaching people with compassion first and with little judgment, I think goes a long way. So, but yeah.
What a beautiful way to finish off our little episode here. Rachel, thank you so much. Do you feel like there's anything left that has to be said? Did we miss out on like a big thing, or did you have any thoughts throughout the conversation?
I think this was great, and this was like it's like a little therapy session for me. You made me think a little harder than I thought I would, so I really appreciate it. This was fun.
Thank you. Oh, this was so good. And again, I appreciate it so much that you are joining the team, for real. It means a lot. This is definitely the way bigger favor you're doing me. And because this is the interactive podcast, right? My guests always like close the episode as well with a little pep talk to the girls and boys out there. Why it matters to believe in themselves and why it matters that they pursue their goals, you know, against all the odds. And here you go.
All right. Put me on the spot here. But all right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, who's ever listening to this, I'm wishing you the best day. I hope that you have a wonderful year ahead of you. I know last year was tough, and I just want to say that if you're feeling down, you're not alone. If you're feeling like you're in a tough spot, you're not alone, but there is light on the other side. So keep pushing, do what you need to do for you. Love yourself first and don't forget to work hard. My biggest thing, work hard and be kind. And I think you can get anywhere you want to be in life.
Bless this. Thank you.
I hope that worked.
Cool. Definitely did. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.